It's good to see everybody this morning. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we love you this morning, God, and we thank you for this day, God, that you have chosen, God. Father, for us to meet together, Lord, to serve you, Lord, and to serve one another. Help us, Lord, renew our minds to your word, God. Help us, Lord, that we have excellent spirits, God, at all times. Father, that we would serve one another, Father, by your love, God. Help us, Lord, to get filled up with you, God, that we can minister out to others, Lord. And, Father, to always do it, Lord, in that spirit of humility, God, that we would be clothed with it by your Spirit. Help us to have ears to hear, Lord, what your Spirit is speaking to us this morning, God. And hearts, Father, that would obey, God. Father, that you would get all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Title this morning is, By Love, Serve One Another. Y'all remember we was on that for, what you laughing about? Something different? Y'all remember we was on that for what? 8, 9 weeks, something like that, about love. To the point to where I think y'all got tired of hearing it. You know, we can't get tired of hearing that. Because see, there's a lot of people like to do a lot of focus about faith. But the Bible says in Galatians, it says faith works by what? If you ain't got no love, faith ain't working. I don't care what you think, what's coming to you, what's not. Scripture's always right. Amen? All right, let's get into this here. Let me get my glasses on and see what I got wrote down here. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. It would do you good if you read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 every day. Thank you, Johnny and April. It would do you good if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 every day. I try to do that every day. I don't do it every day. I try to. Because see, I'm not going to say I do it every day if I did it 364 days, because there's 365 in a year. I'd be a liar. And I'm not going to be a liar. But I had somebody tell me recently that all my reading of my scripture and stuff's not doing me any good. And I thought, you're proving it is. When you're up in my face, pointed in my nose, and I'm not punching you out, you're proving it's working. The devil is a liar. Do you know the devil will do that to you?
Why?
He wants you off. He wants you off of whatever you're doing. Why? So he can gain victory over you. What did I tell y'all, Galatians? I keep trying to go to Corinthians. Well, I got it wrote down. I don't think that's the first one we're supposed to go to, Johnny. Because how many knows we are leaky vessels? I mean, they say, you know, experts, they say most people, when you read something or you hear something, you only retain something like 7 to 10% of it. And how many knows over a period of time, you even lose that? I don't know about y'all, but I've been out of school a long time. The other day, I couldn't remember how to spell sandwiches. Spelling was my best subject. I never even had to study. But because I don't spell sandwiches a lot, I have forgotten what I knew that came seemed like so easy to me. And how many knows that the Word of God is the same way? Just because, well, I just trust the Holy Spirit to bring it to my remembrance. That's what He said He would do. Yeah, but He's not going to make up for your laziness or my laziness. So how many knows I'm the one supposed to be meditating in the Word day and night. I'm supposed to be the sower, right, according to Mark 4, and put the Word in, and put the Word in. Why? My heart's like ground, right? And how many knows we need to stir ourselves up? Stir ourselves up, because that is the main thing. If you let the love of God slip, you've let everything slip. Why? Everything, God, according to 1 John 4, God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love Himself. And we went over that the Bible said He would teach us, right? That God Himself would teach us how to love. And that's what He's been doing, and that's what He's going to continue to do until He comes. Why? Because that's what He is. And He's going to teach us all about Himself. And then He's going to teach us how to love one another. According to John 13, 34 through 35. Anybody remember what that said? Jesus said, love the brethren, right? As I have loved you. He said, I give you a new commandment. We are already supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors ourselves. He said, I give you a new commandment. He said that you love the brethren as I have loved you. You're talking about till the end, till he comes. We will be working on that one. How many knows? Because why? He is love himself. Right? But let's look here in Galatians. Chapter 5, and I've got this in the King James Version, and if you don't have a Bible, Beth, put it on the screen. Verse 13, he says, for brethren, notice this, it says, you have been called. You want to know what your calling is? He's fixing to tell you. He says, you have been called unto liberty or freedom. Only use not liberty or freedom for an occasion to what? The flesh, he said, but by love serve one another. He's telling us there how to stay out of the flesh. We're free. The Apostle Paul said, you're free to do anything you choose to do. You was free to come to church this morning, or you was free to make the choice to stay home, right? God even told him in the Old Testament, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Then in case you're not that smart, he said, choose life. But how many knows he still gives us free choice of what we do? Even though we're free, he says, but don't use it, even though you've been made free, don't use it as an incentive or an occasion to your flesh. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Now notice what he said, law. We're not under the written law anymore. Now we're under the law of Christ, right? New Testament. That means we're under the law of love. He says, but for all the law is fulfilled in one word, in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, now you're getting in the flesh, right? He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, what are you going to be walking in? You get out of love, you're not walking in the Spirit. Maybe you're being nice, I don't know. But if you get out of the love of God, you're not in a right spirit, because God is love. And that's the only spirit that he is, right? When you look up, when you go on and read Galatians there, 22 through 24, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the number one thing is love, right? Then you get the joy. Then you get the peace and all of these others. Let's look on with this here. He goes on and he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Don't think about it, do it. Right? He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He just got through telling us, if you're going to be in the Spirit, love one another and serve one another by loving them. What's that mean? That means I live my life to bless you. Thank you, Johnny. Y'all asleep or what? That means did Christ live his life to bless other people? To obey God and bless people? Or was it all about himself? See, the number one thing about the devil is his thing is selfishness. And that is the number one killer to the love of God. No place in Scripture do I find Jesus having a pity party. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you've been through, what's been done to you. There's always somebody that's worse off than you are. So you'll do yourself good if you'll do the Word and get your mind off of yourself and onto other people. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, think about yourself all the time. Think about all the bad that's been done to you. Does it say that? No. I'm not ever even supposed to. The Bible says if somebody slaps me on one cheek, do what? Give them the other one. Well, I need to sit here and think about that a minute. I need to sit here and reflect on what you've done to me or whether I want to do that or not. Oh, y'all way too quiet this morning. Maybe I just need to talk about my stuff, huh? So we get on everybody's and we get real quiet. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then he goes on and tells you all the works of the flesh in their manifestation. Then the next part, 22 through 24, he goes on and tells you all the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So if you don't know, go look it up. But the thing about it is, just make it real simple. Stay in the love of God, and you won't have to be concerned about any of the rest. Now let's look at, let me read you this definition. Serving by love, and we want to say the love of God. Because, see, I have love, but it's just natural love. How many knows natural love gets tired? Natural love runs out. Natural love has a certain degree of selfishness in it. How many knows the love of God does not? And according to Romans 5, the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts the day you got born again. So we can't even use the excuse that we don't have it. We have it. We may not have been exercising it. It may be still almost in seed form. But how many knows anything that you got a muscle, you exercise it, that muscle will get bigger. It'll grow. It will develop. But how many knows you can be born again, 50 years born again, and still be a tiny baby in the spirit? Why? Because you never worked out. What do I mean by workout? Like this, for an example, some people say, oh, God, don't ever pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. You've already got it. How's he going to give you what you already got? Right? Stay with Scripture. You've already got patience the day you got born again. Now, if you pray for patience, guess what you're going to get? An opportunity for patience to work. But this is what we like to do, or I like to do. I used to before I knew better. Oh, God, help me love people. Now, what I mean it is, God, give me a feeling. Why? It's real easy when you feel something to do it. But how many knows you can be walking in the greatest love of God when you feel like throat punching somebody, but you don't do it? You're the same. Don't the Bible say Jesus Christ the same? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. I never seen him getting sideways with nobody. I seen him act the same all the time. I seen him talk the same all the time. He never got out of the love of God. He never got out of the faith of God, right? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And the Father is love, so that tells me he never got out of it. So somebody doing something to you, they're on your last nerve, they're dogging you out. What? Stay the same. Just stay the same. That's all you got to do. Just stay in the love of God and let the devil ramp and rage. I mean, because he says there at the fruit of the Spirit over there in Galatians 5:22 through 24, at the end of it, he said there's nothing, no law against it. In other words, there's nothing that can prevail against it. According to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, he talks about how love never fails. The love of God never fails. It never runs out. It is unconditional. Listen to me. The Lord told me something the other day to help us, and I'm going to help me, and I'm going to tell y'all to help y'all. Some of the people that is God is going to send here, because we know what's going on, you're going to have to see them like you don't know them. Why? If they got born again yesterday, they're not the same person you know. And we're not supposed to even know people after the flesh, right? Of who they used to be. People start talking to me about what I used to do and used to be, and that wasn't me. It was the old me, but he's dead or she's dead. Why? I'm a new creation in Christ. So if we're going to love these people, we got to forget about their past. Why? God doesn't bring up your past to you. He doesn't. When you may bring it up, and he's like, I forgot about it, right? I don't hold it against you. I forgave that. That slate's clean. We have to do the same thing with people that God's going to send here. Now, let me finish my thing here. It says, serving by love, the love of God, which is unconditional. What's that mean? That means you don't have to treat me right for me to love you. That means if I'm going to love you with the love of God, I can't use what they call that discernment to find everything that's wrong with you and point it out. Woo, we're getting quieter than what we was. I mean, knows it don't take a lick of discernment to find the wrong in somebody. You can see that with just your natural eye. Hear it with your natural ear. But how many knows everybody has a field? But if they've been born again, there's a treasure in that field. But how many knows it'll take the Spirit of God in you to see it and to help bring it out? It'll take the love of God and the faith of God. Nobody saw nothing in me, except bad most of the time. But how many knows God had put a treasure in me? And over a period of time of me working with him and walking with him and working and yielding to the Holy Ghost and getting in the Word of God and going to church, I was reminded this morning of one time me and Scotty. Now, I mean, we did best we could to take care of ourselves. And I mean, did whatever we had to do, you know. And I remember this one time we had got saved, hadn't been saved but a few months, and our light bill, they're fixing to cut our lights off. And So we, Saturday night, took a load of watermelons to the farmer's market in Birmingham. You sell a load of watermelons, go pay you lot bill money. We didn't sell none, Johnny, not even one. And we stayed down there. Travis, he's 2 years old, on that market all night long. Well, we come in the morning after daylight, you know, and we're fixing to go to bed, and Sandy calls for some reason, and we go to where she goes to church, and I tell her we're not going to church. I tell her the story, you know. Anyway, make a long story short, the church helped us with our light bill. But what I was going to tell you later on, Scotty called me. Now, he had a brother-in-law, Marvin, that would sell tomatoes at flea markets and everything. So he called and wanted me to pray, us to pray together to find out if God, we should get a load of these tomatoes and take them to the flea market or whatever. So I pray, you know, and he prays, and we don't know nothing, Johnny, but him. And all of a sudden, while I'm praying, I hear Ephesians 6:10. I thought, what does Ephesians 6:10 say? I don't even know what that scripture is. So I turned over there and look at it. Scotty calls me back. I said, I don't know what in the world this means. I said, but it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I said, I don't know what it means, but I don't think we're supposed to. It's his job to take care of us. We go to church that Wednesday night. Guess what Brother Brad's preaching on? Y'all don't know. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Why? God knows. But what if I hadn't went to church? See, we got too many people out here been saved a long time, doing way too much foolishness and playing games, and we're running out of time. We got to be after him and be after the kingdom. And you'll hear people say, oh, yeah, we got to be after the kingdom, be after the kingdom. Where are you at? Laying in the bed, going to the flea market, over yonder, helping so-and-so, you know. We got to love one another, you know, serve one another. No, number one, your callings to God. Number two, your callings to the family. Number two, three, your callings to the brethren. Are we in line with Scripture or not? Fivefold ministry was given to who? Ephesians 4 now, let's remember. Who was it given to? The prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. Right? All those five. Who was they given to, the Bible says? Oh, no. They was given to the lost now. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all five of those was given to the church, to the body, to build up the body to do what? Equip the body to do what? The work of the ministry. It's going to take mind renewal. When we hear ministry, we should hear serve. What am I doing right now? Number one, I'm serving God. Number two, I'm serving you. This ain't doing a thing for me. I got all this at home. So when I come here, I'm serving you. When you come here and you serve one another, here. I got, y'all seen them time after time after time. There's been people, they come here, bless their hearts. I pray for them. I help them. I tried to counsel them. But listen, the world has a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can counsel somebody, which you're not the counselor. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is. You can counsel somebody till you are blue in the face. But until they decide to have a relationship with Jesus and be a doer of the Word of God, according to James, nothing in their life is going to change. So don't come to church and put that off on all of us. Woo! He's hot today, ain't he? He loves us, I'm telling you. He loves us so much. But see, a lot of the body of Christ, we got wrong thinking about the love of God. Okay, Johnny, let's just go over. Let's just go over and see what the love of God is. Well, I just don't feel like I love you anymore. Who cares? What's that matter? Y'all gonna talk back or not? Come on, talk back. It's supposed to be a flow. Listen, I'm supposed to be ministering. You're supposed to be ministering something in this service too. Ain't that what the Bible says? When we come together, right, everybody's supposed to be ministering. I asked my grandkids back there a while ago at the door. I said, have y'all prayed for this service this morning? No. I said, you better get with it. Teenagers, be fasting, praying for these services. Your future depends on it. What you hear when you come to this house and what you do when you go out there with what you hear. I don't hear no ministering out of y'all. I think it's about time, don't y'all? I think it's about time we hear and see something out of these teenagers. Maybe they need a little men's meeting, Monty. I don't know. I don't mean coming, I mean ministering. Because see, let me tell you this. I'd have thought about this earlier. Now, we was on last week. Every body member's supposed to supply, right? We spend time with him. You get filled up. You come to church. You got a supply. It might not be a preaching or a teaching. I'm sitting over there. Y'all remember when my head was so messed up that I couldn't walk but one day a week most of the time by myself. Anyway, my head, I was getting better at that, and I'm sitting over there, but I was having a bad day. I couldn't hardly put two scriptures together. I couldn't hardly think, talk, and all that stuff, and I'm sitting over there. And I'll tell them kids, I'll say, you better get over here. Grandma's love tank's getting empty. What that means is come give me a hug. And anyway, I'm sitting right over there, and I'm having a bad day, and I got to get up here, and I got to do Sunday school. And I looked at Aiden. I said, you better come give Grandma some lovings. I said, Grandma's love tank is getting empty. Now, he's seven. He was six at the time. He comes over there, and he hugs me, and when he hugs me, it's like he hugged me with his spirit. He did not hug me with his arms. And it was like it just did something on the inside of me. It gave me a supply. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything is not a preaching or a teaching that is the supply. He was six. So don't tell me everybody can't supply something in the services. And according to Scripture, they're supposed to. And how many knows, when you spend time with him and you hang out with him and you get full, ain't nobody got to coax you into saying or doing nothing. You're so full, you can't help yourself, right, Samantha? It just starts coming out. How you know when your gas hand don't work? How you know when you're pumping gas when it's full? It'll start going all over the ground, won't it? Then you know, stop. Hello, it's full. But a lot of people, Christians, don't spend enough time with God to ever get full. And that's why you got ministers dropping out of ministry, which is servanthood, because they don't stay full enough. I'm not the supplier. I can't supply. The Bible says apart from him, we can do how much? Nothing. And that doesn't mean not being born again. How many knows you can be a born again Christian, but he's the supplier? The Bible says hold into the head, right? Which is Christ Jesus. He's the head. He's the bridegroom. We're the bride. Everything comes from him. Not from us, amen? I was in Dollar General the other day. I think it was one day this week. May have been last week. I don't know. Anyway, I'm in Dollar General, and I'm just in there. You know, I got my mind on what I got to get and all this stuff because I have to stay focused, keep my mind focused or whatever. Anyway, so I'm in there going about my business or whatever, and all of a sudden I look up, and I see this woman. And when I look at her, she makes eye contact with me. We see each other, and when we do, she smiles. Johnny, when she smiled, she ministered a supply to me. Now I'm like, that's it, God. You can tell the difference. There was all kinds of people in that store. I had made eye contact with the cashier, the people coming in and out of the door, the other. But she's the one that made a supply, a deposit on the inside of me. How do I know? I felt it. You can tell, right? You ever been around people that they smile and it's a different smile? There's something about that smile. Or they look at you and there's just kind of a twinkle in their eye. There's a different looking into their eyes. Why? Because he's in there and they're full. Y'all are dragging me to the other message. I got to stay on this one. Now, where are we going? Oh, yeah, 1 Corinthians 13. This is the one that do you good if you read it every day. It starts talking to you. It starts leading you. See, a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm not hearing from God. I'm not hearing from God. Pray, I hear from God. Pray. Number one, that's not scripture. I don't need to pray for you that you hear God. We're dealing with a lot of religious tradition today. I don't need to. If you've been born again, I don't need to pray for you to hear God. According to John 10, if you're his sheep, what? You hear his voice. Now believe what he said. Act in faith. I hear you. I say that almost every day, Johnny. Thank you, Lord, because I've been born of your spirit. I am your sheep. Therefore, I hear your voice, God, and I hear you loud and clear. And the voice of another God, even my own flesh, I will not follow. So don't go around telling people pray for you to hear God if you've been born again. Believe you hear him and you will. And the second thing is listen to love. If God's talking to you, love will be talking to you. Not selfishness. If you need a counselor, the Holy Ghost is the counselor, the Bible says. I can counsel you all day long out of my own self. And if he ain't giving me nothing, you're not getting nothing. He is the counselor. Don't be running around pulling on people all the time. Number one, unless God gives it, people don't have what you need. But you can get what you need from him. He just had to be my therapist. I didn't know he could be your therapist. I don't know what I thought counselor meant. I guess, God, I got a situation here. Tell me what to do. I mean, I don't really know. But just goes to show you, without the Holy Ghost revealing, we don't even know what the word means in its fullness. Oh, but when he was my therapist, I'm so much better. Thank you, Lord. So if you need a counselor, don't be calling everybody. The Holy Ghost is your counselor according to the word of God. You need a marriage counselor? Oh, gosh, let's just don't get on it. Let's don't get on it. Here, I got to read this verse before I run out of time here. Excuse me. Let's read this in the Amplified. If you don't have it, Beth will put it on the screen maybe. Did we have that one wrote down? We did, didn't we? 438? Okay. All right, here. Now, it's talking about the love of God, and I'm going to read it the way I read it. It says, verse 4, love. God's love in me. This is how I read this when I read this at home. Why? I'm making a distinction in my own heart and mind. Well, I'm not talking about natural love. This is not talking about natural love. And God's love is in me. Love. God's love in me, it endures long and it's patient and it's kind. Love. God's love in me never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. I've not heard one feeling, Johnny, have you? Well, I'm leaving this church, you know. I don't feel like y'all love me anymore. Y'all getting way too quiet. Who said anything about you supposed to feel it? Love's not a feeling. See, people get divorced all over. I'm talking about Christians divorced all over the place because I don't feel like I love you anymore, or I don't feel like you're loving me. Number one, my job is not to detect if Scotty is loving me. My job is, Teresa, where's your love meter at? Is it low? Is it medium? Is it on high? Why? I'm the only one that I can answer for. I do my job. I can't do his. And if he ain't doing his, that's him and God's business. Well, they should treat me right. Who said? See, a lot of men, they like to get on women about, wives, submit to your husband. You're getting real quiet, Monty. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with Monty. Wives, submit to your husband. Well, okay. What you think submission is, buddy? Submission is, I totally disagree with you. Submission's not agreement. Go look it up for yourself. Submission is, y'all remember Jesus, I got some scripture, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say? Oh, Lord, I submit to your will because they just giving me goosebumps to go to this cross. What did he say? If there be any other way. If there be any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, so that tells me it wasn't his will. Not my will, Lord, your will. That's submission. I don't agree. I don't want to do it. But I yield myself because you're the head. Now let's go over here on the other side. What's your job, man? Number one, it's not for you to tell your wife to submit because you can't make her. That's kind of like the little kid. You heard the story about the little kid at church. He's standing up in the chair. The mama pops him on the leg and makes him sit down. He says, I might be sitting down right here, but I'm standing up on the inside. You can't make nobody submit. That's an act of my will. It's an act of your will. So what's it say about husbands? Don't nobody know? You've been doing a lot of men's meeting a long time, Monty. Husbands, love your wives. Oh, help us, Jesus. Husbands, love your wives. What's that mean? Well, I will if you do right. Oh, no. Did we just read that? What did we read? 1 Corinthians 13? What did it say? Anything about your wife acting right? So, see, you go back to Christ and the church, right? The church is the bride, right? She submits to who? The head, which is Christ. But whoa, whoa, whoa. What does Christ do? He loves his bride. The Bible says he loved the church so much he died for her. So say, don't even get off on all of that. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Jesus has loved you, as Christ loves the church. And see, it's not this do as I say, it's follow me as I lead. Come on now. What's that mean? That means you got to be doing something. See, Jesus said, follow me, didn't he? What did he do? Oh, well, just followed him down the road. No, you saw him love people. You saw him obey the Father. Sometimes, I mean, more than once, they couldn't even find him. Why? He's out getting filled up with the Father, and they're looking for him. And he spent all night. Man, when's the last time you spent all night praying? When's the last time you fasted for your family? I'm not trying to condemn nobody. We're talking about following Jesus, right? What'd he do? He gave his life for the bride. Did he not? He said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down. Wasn't just talking about the cross. How many knows he laid his life down every single day for 33 years, especially the last three that he was here, in his desires, his wants, not yielding to selfishness, not getting angry. I mean, the disciples, one point, I mean, they're ready to burn the whole town down. Lord, let's just call fire down from heaven and just burn them all up. What'd Jesus say? You don't know what spirit you're of, because that's not my spirit. Right? Men are called to do the same thing, and not just men. How many knows, as Christians, he said, take up your cross and follow me. What's that mean? Wherever my will is crossing God's will, I submit myself. I may not agree. I may not think it's right. It don't matter if he's my Lord, does it? If he's my Lord, then I follow his leadership and I trust him. And I use my faith that he loves me. He has my best interests at heart. But how many knows when you spank a kid, they'll tell you, Aubrey told me one time that discipline, spanking and stuff. She said, Grandma, that's just stupid. That don't even make no sense. What are y'all looking like that for? Y'all think the same thing about God sometimes. We're his children, ain't we? Sometimes we're like, God, I don't know why I got to do this. I don't know why I can't do like everybody else. Why I got to go to church? They're supposed to, too. They're just children that's not obeying. Golly bum, look, we got to read this now. Stop. Let's see, where'd we get to? We'll just start with verse 5. It says, it is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, right? What did he say the first thing he was? I'm lowly. I'm gentle. What are we supposed to be? Lowly, meek, gentle, not hard and harsh. He goes on and he says here, love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. That is a big one. They done me wrong. Who cares? The Bible says vengeance belongs to the Lord, and he will repay. If there's something needs taken up and taken care of, he'll take care of it if you don't. Now, see, you can do it, and he'll back off. Y'all getting real quiet. See, let me tell you something. You can't let nothing go on between y'all and this church. None of us. I can't tell you over 20-something years how many times I have been hurt by people in this church, and I'm not just talking about the one sitting here today. Sometimes they meant to, sometimes they didn't mean to, and I probably have hurt more people in this church. But you know what? I think I have apologized more than anybody in this church publicly, too. I don't hear y'all say it very much, but that's okay. Why? See, the devil will eat our lunch with that. There can't be no schism in the body. Can't be no schism nowhere. I don't care what somebody done to you, didn't. Well, you know, that just hurt my feelings, what you said. Well, boo-hoo, you want a pacifier? What was all that? Woo, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm not moved. The man's in prison. Stocks, bonds, beat. And you upset because somebody hurt your little feelings? And I thought you quote the scripture, I shall not be. Oh, we sang the song, I shall not be moved. We need to do a little more than singing a song. I'm not just talking. I'm talking to me. I sat on my back porch and squalled like a baby this morning. Help me, God, because the desire of my heart, Lord, is all I want and more of you. You're all I want, God, and do your will. Because the Bible says for us to occupy till he comes. And I'm telling you, he is about to come. He says just when you think he's not. And you might think, I've been hearing that my entire life. Yeah, but there's going to come a day that he's coming. We're closer in time than what we was yesterday. You're closer in getting older in age than what you was yesterday. And I'm telling you right now, he's coming. All this bunch of foolishness that a lot of, I'm talking to people all over the world, not just y'all. A lot of this bunch of foolishness that we've been doing and carrying on doing and concerned about and yeah-yeahing about, it's about to mean nothing. While people are dying and going to hell. And we got a harvest to get in. We got a harvest to get in, not just of the people out there. We have a work to occupy and do in here. Why? We got to build up the body. We got to equip the body. Why? To serve. Because, see, if we don't have adult servers in here, got your parking spot, Johnny. You're going to cry about it. Not Johnny wouldn't, but I'm just saying. Hope you wouldn't. Then we can't. God can't send us nobody. Because just as many people as we can help, that's exactly how many we can hurt. And we can't do it in selfishness and just thinking about us. Well, you looked at me wrong. I know what that look means. Do you now? Maybe I had gas. I don't know. I mean, seriously, maybe my stomach was hurting. Maybe it was that time of the week. I don't know. But now, judge, you're interpreting everybody's look of what it means. I thought we wasn't supposed to be a judge. How you know what's going on the inside of my heart when I don't even know myself unless the Holy Ghost reveals it? How arrogant, prideful, and puffed up is that? And he says right there, love doesn't do that. Right? Ooh, hot today. Help us, Jesus. He tells us this stuff because he loves us and because he loves people. We go on here and it says, it's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not what? Self-seeking. That is the nature of the devil himself. And it is the nature of every person's flesh. That's why you got to walk in the Spirit. That spirit man on the inside of you being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to be selfish. He always leads you to think about others. He goes on here and he says, it's not touchy. Oh boy. Or fretful. Or resentful. Well, I tell you right now, they on my last nerve. Well, you better do something about that. Because you're not yielding to the love of God. Why? It's not touchy. When you're yielding to the love of God, somebody can just about smack you or nearly knock you down. And you just turn around and say, oh, excuse me. Walk right on. Takes no account of it, don't it? It's not touchy. But I'm telling you, when you're not walking and yielding in the Spirit, walking and yielding to the love of God, every look, every word, everything somebody does is on your last nerve. And they're the same they've always been. They're not doing anything that they don't always do, Johnny. It's me. Because if I'm walking in the love of God, I can't be touchy. Love's not touchy. So if I'm you, I won't be. So if you find yourself being touchy, repent and get in the love of God. He says, or fretful, or resentful, right? Let's see, where did I get to? There it is. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. What's that mean? Somebody does something to you? Instantly you let it go. Why? See, it's not to let them go, it's to let you stay free. The Bible says we have been made free, right? But don't use your freedom as an incentive to the flesh or an opportunity to yield to the flesh. So what's that mean? Instantly in my thoughts and in my heart, I got to let that thing go. I got to forgive it right then. Why? Because if you let that stay there, it's going to get festered up and it's going to get a root of bitterness. Now, I've been married for 40 years this year. How many things do you think could have got in there? And part of the reason why God had to be my therapist, I didn't know it at the time. I had let some things get in there, and a root of bitterness got in there, and then I couldn't control it anymore. Now it's controlling me. And I want to change, and I can't. So the way that you do that is don't take account. Instantly, if you see that somebody acknowledge somebody's done something, instantly get rid of it. And let me tell you something, husband and wives, children and all that, you're closer to them than anybody else. You better do that quickly. He goes on here and it says, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything. Why? God cannot fail. There's nothing that can prevail over it, God. There's no one or anything that can prevail over God because God is love. And when we're yielded and walking in the love of God, we can't be prevailed against either. He says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Well, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that person did you right and you didn't have a right an account that was wrong or whatever, but you got to let it go. Why? Because Joyce Meyer says it this way, and I don't know anybody that's been worse through than what that woman. I'm telling you, when you hear her testimony, her own parents, the things they did. Parents, you can slap mess your kids up. Sure can. But how many knows? You don't stay messed up, and you don't have to stay messed up. If you stay messed up, it's your fault. Once you get older and you see and you know and you get in a relationship with God, if I stay messed up, because see, we like to play the blame game. I am the way I am because of the way I was treated. See, a lot of the reason why I was antisocial like I was, number one, it's in my personality, and number two, I had a very spirit-jealous husband. It wasn't just men. He don't want me around my mama. He mopped my sister's head with dog puke mop one time because she come home with us because he couldn't stand her either. It was not natural. He just wanted me, just me and him. How many knows from the time I was 13 years old until I got in, till I was probably 18 or 19 years old, he was like that. How many knows those are the years I'm supposed to be developing skills of being with people? I didn't get it. And that's fine. But how many knows at 50-something years old, I still can't say that's the reason why I am the way I am. However old you are, you can't still use the excuse, well, you don't know what somebody done to me. You don't know how I was raised. You may be raised to be a thief, but the Bible says still no more. So what's that mean? Let the Holy Ghost work in you and yield to Him and renew your mind to the Word, and you won't have those problems anymore. He goes on here, and he says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It don't matter what it is or how it comes. It is ever, this is the one. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. I try to do this. I don't do it all the time, but I try to. Somebody will be telling me something about something, somebody or something happened or something, and I'll be like, well, they probably didn't mean it that way, you know, or... You know, you probably just misunderstood. I'm trying to believe the best of every person. And I don't need you to keep telling me how bad they are. You keep doing that and I'm about to cut you off. Why? You're not going to suck the life of Christ out of me. Some people suckers, some people sowers. Figure out which one you're going to be. He goes on here. And it says, it believes the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It never gets out of faith because love is working. And when love is working, faith is working. It says, it's fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures what? Everything without what? Weakening. That's why we got to stay full of the love of God or we'll be weak. Every little thing will be knocking us over. Every little thing will be taking our victory, right? Stealing our joy, our peace, and all this. Good grief, we didn't even get off the first point. it's a good thing Scotty got up. Made me look at the clock. But anyway, our time is up. I guess we'll carry on with this. I don't know. I'm just a messenger. I just work. Like I told Beth this morning, I said, I don't know, Beth. But all these scriptures, I said, you know how it goes. I just work here. That's all I do. I just work here. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share comments or anything before we close? All right, we'll recess to 11.